was too playful or whatever. So, but MTG believed in me, and that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
You're now the Lizard?
Yes.
So you were one, if not the most beloved New York Ranger of the past decade.
At the highest level of any sports you do, the fun kind of goes out of it if you don't keep it a little loose in the locker room.
He is the most famous Norwegian in America. He's the most famous Norwegian athlete in several countries like Sweden, Finland, Russia. He is, of course, I should mention, an Arctic ambassador wearing the Arctic cap in the Arctic podcast studio. He is in Oslo on summer holiday. We are proud to be hosting in the Arctic podcast studio the best Norwegian ice hockey player in the history of the world. He has so far played 618 games in NHL, scored 140 times, made 287 assists. Welcome, Mats Zuccarello Aasen, to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Can I just ask, are we using Zuccarello Aasen or are we focusing
Zuccarello is fine.
Zuccarello is enough. It's enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
We are jumping straight into the Q&A, and we are beginning then, of course, with the proudest moment in your career so far. I'm giving you three alternatives.
Okay.
Alternative one, when you signed as an Arctic ambassador in July 2019. Alternative two, when you played in the Stanley Cup final for New York Rangers in 2014. Or alternative three, when you had your debut in Sweden for Modo and you became Rookie of the Year in 2008-09.
Oh, that's a hard one. I think I have to go the second one there, playing the Stanley Cup final.
And if you had to choose any other moment in your career that was like the proudest moment of your career, something that I didn't think of?
I think playing for Norway Olympic qualification in, I think it was 2018.
Really?
We played in at the Jordal Amfi. It's a famous, I grew up there in that rink, and I think it was built in 1952, and it was the last year that they were going to rebuild the whole thing and tear it down and build a new one. And so we qualified for the Olympics. That was the last thing I did in that rink. So that was a big moment for me, playing at home for a national team and making the Olympics. So
Love the answer. I wasn't prepared for that. So we will get back a little bit to the national team. Question number two. Who is the best ice hockey player you ever played on the same team as?
I've been lucky. I played with so many good players from even growing up here in Norway. For me, it was a bunch of role models for me, even when I played in Vålerenga when I was a kid. When I played in Frisco Asker, I had players on the team that I thought was unbelievable. But I think if I got to choose one player, it's got to be Ryan McDonagh. He was our captain in New York. He plays for Tampa right now. So I think he was outstanding. So, but
and
I
then, think okay, it's hard. Follow-up question. Who's the best player you didn't play with, but who's the best player you played against?
Sidney Crosby. I think he's the ultimate player and
Where is he now? Pardon.
He's in Pittsburgh. He's been there his whole career. And I think he's by far. When he's the best player all around for me.
When you were a kid, did you have any sort of role models outside the guys you were playing with? Who was the best player in the world? Did you think when you were a kid?
Peter Forsberg was my idol, football, and I was lucky enough to when I signed in Sweden there to be that was in his hometown, and he was on the same team and we played together and
Fantastic.
We became pretty good friends. So that was not every day you can say that you get to play on the same team with your childhood hero. So that was also pretty special. But growing up, I think. Espen Knutsen in Norway, Shampoo. And I grew up in at Vallehoven, and in my street we had a player named Morten Ask who played in Vålerenga and Germany and he was in the USA, but he was so close to me, so he was always a role model for me and growing up as well. We went to the same school. He was some years older than me, but I always saw him going to school when I was a kid, and he was also someone that I looked up to when I was younger.
A bit of a question where I'm expecting the answer, but I could be surprised. Who is the best goalkeeper, or I would say maybe then the worst for you, if you were to score against or try to score against this goalie? Who do you rank as the best goalie of all times?
Well, for me to score against, it was easy, but for everyone else, it was it was hard. But Henrik Lundqvist, it's by far
you were training with him, and you made it.
It was easy for me to score for him. I'm probably the only one in the world that was easy for.
And that made it more difficult for everyone else because
yes.
If you had to be a professional in another sport than ice hockey, and you could choose. It was not about your talent, but you could choose.
I mean, I'm a big football fan, so I think that would be probably the ultimate dream for me is to play at Old Trafford or play for Man United, something like that. But I'm thinking.
Have you asked Ole Gunnar Solskjær for like a trial or
no? I think I gotta be honest. I don't think I got anything to do there. But it would be nice to try and play at the Old Trafford.
Wasn't that this the runner? Usain Bolt.
He
did like a try.
Yeah, he did try right in Borussia Dortmund, I think, and stuff like that. But I think football and playing Premier League or something like that. But yeah.
And which athlete, and then in obviously any other sport than ice hockey, do you admire the most globally?
It used to be David Beckham, just because when I was young, he was Beckham. But not right now. I mean, I admire a bunch of athletes, especially from Norway, Kasper Ruud and Braut Haaland.
My heart is melting. Obviously, they are also happen to be Arctic ambassadors.
Yeah, but it's also fun to see people from a small country like Norway doing so well in the big stage in the world. But I think for me, if I was to choose maybe one current player, it would be Cristiano Ronaldo for me.
He seems to live an incredibly rigid life where he takes his physique incredibly seriously.
Yeah, but I would never have his life. He's too famous, too serious and too strict for me, but just like his mentality and I mean, him and Lionel Messi been on that level for 15 years, that says something, you know.
Let's see where Erling Braut Haaland is in 15 years.
Yeah, but for now he's not. So I mean, you've had players like Ronald Dinho, who maybe if you choose one player for one season, you probably pick him that one season when he was unbelievable. But these two guys have done it for 15 years straight and still going on. So that's something that, obviously it's because of football is my sport outside of hockey. So I think I gotta go with him.
What is your dream jobs? If you have to look 20 years from now, would you be a ice hockey manager or a hedge fund manager?
I would be none of that. I wish for my dream, I would probably be a cop. I think...
Cop in New York, Oslo, Minnesota?
New York would be great, but I think...
That's a different answer. I wasn't expecting. That's fun.
A cop just a general cop, I think... Being a cop, I admire their job so much, you know, especially living in the U.S. And it's a risk, it's a high risk job, you know. You sacrifice your body for every day going to work and stuff like that. But so that would be my job. But if you were asked me to do one thing that I would like to do is be in the military. I think that's the highest you can do is to...
serve your country.
I think that's unbelievable, and I have huge respect for everyone that's done that and keep doing it.
Respect. So follow on question, I guess, a little bit to the point you were making about where you want to work. What is the best city that you have lived in so far? You've lived obviously in Oslo, New York, you were in Sweden, you were in Magnitorsk. And St. Paul, Minnesota. Dallas, of course.
I think every city is different, you know, like where I live now, it's a more quiet life. I really enjoy it. Obviously, I was a young kid growing up in New York. A lot of fun stuff happening for a young kid in New York. So I had some great times there. Even my short time in Dallas, I really enjoyed it as well. So I can't really pick one. I mean, obviously, I lived the longest in New York and stuff like that. But I also, when I was 2 years in Sweden in the Modo, I think it was 30,000 people in the whole area around there. But I think probably the best 2 years of my career, fun-wise and hockey-wise, and just in general, it was so fun to live there. So it's hard to choose.
Good memories in different places.
Yeah.
You've now been an Arctic ambassador for a couple of years, and the final question in this section is, what's the best part of being associated with Arctic? Is it the cap?
It's the hat that I get to use on a regular basis.
I should maybe add then to some of our non-Norwegian listeners that there has been a bit of a joke. Morten Ram, who I understand is a bit of a friend of yours as
yes,
well.
Yes, he's my friend, yeah.
He's been making some jokes about we had a competition and we gave away some caps, and I think he maybe thought that was a bit stingy, but I think also that the value of the cap increased.
Yes, so he helped us out, but he's, yeah, for people who doesn't know him, he makes a living off of social media, and he's a comedian, and that's how he does. But he's PR kot, like we call it, media.
He doesn't mind the attention.
Yes.
That's true.
So no, that was fun. So yeah, I gotta say the hat, and obviously I've met so many good people every time I'm here, and every time you have a arrangement or stuff like that. And third, probably the most important thing is that they're always supporting when it comes to my foundation and supporting the kids in Norway and sports, and they're always there and supporting. So I think that's the best part about it.
Getting back to the philanthropy, I appreciate that answer. Now we are going a little bit back in time then, starting with your period at high school, I guess, NTG, which is Norsk Toppidretts Gymnas.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a funny thing because they have on their homepage, they distinguish between Olympic and world champions. You're not there.
I'm not there.
They have Magnus Carlsen. They have Tohusov. They have Ilo Gaup. They have handballers. They have skiers. And then they have another section, which is strong senior achievements. That's where you are. So did you ever kind of, you know, regret that you were not in a better team sport or the national team in ice hockey? I'm guessing. Do you think you'll ever win anything with the Norwegian national team?
You never know, but I think it's hard. You know, your hockey is small in Norway compared to all the big countries. A lot less money in hockey and sports here than it is in the other countries and stuff like that.
There's probably a lot more money in alpine, cross-country skiing, which
yes,
is obviously
so,
nobody else in Norway.
We don't
cares,
have the culture to be good in hockey. We don't have enough rinks. We don't have enough ice time for people. So probably not, but I'm really proud that as a small country, a small hockey country also, that we've been in the, I think, top 15 in the world as a country the last 15 years. So I think that's an achievement that is unbelievable for us to be up there and have had some really good results the last 15 years. We beat some big nations like Czech and Sweden and Finland, and we beat Canada before. And it's so, I think what we have to work with, I think hockey in Norway has done a tremendous job of getting max out of every player and the national team for sure. So I think we should be proud.
That's a lovely answer. We're moving a little bit to your club career, because you did mention you grew up near Jordal and Valle. Yeah. And then, you know, I'm not a geography expert, but Frisk Asker is a little bit on the other side of town.
Yeah.
Just looking at the NHL homepage, for example, it says that you started your impressive career at the Frisk Asker program.
Yeah.
What happened there? Why not Vålerenga?
Well, obviously, I grew up Vålerenga, played their soccer or football, like we say here in Europe, hockey. Floorball in the bende, handball that played in Vålerenga. So, but when, how old are you when you start? 15. I applied to Vang and to G, and my grades wasn't the best. And I think the people that worked at Vang didn't think I was that serious as a hockey player.
It was a bit of a school thing. Vang was related to Vålerenga and NTG.
Vang is here in Oslo where I lived, and then NTG is outside of the city.
So
in
it's
Oscar,
on the other side of town, which is where Frisk Asker is from. Okay, so it was more of a school thing.
Yeah, so they here in Oslo, where all my then teammates went, they thought I was not too serious about my hockey. I was too playful or whatever. So, but NTG believed in me, and that's the best thing that ever happened to me, I think.
The rest is history, as they say. I'm not sure what happened to your, well, I'm sure they had good careers, but you had a outstanding global career. So if that's that was a very lucky break for NTG, I guess.
Yeah, and for me.
So, personal question: are you married, Mats?
No,
not married. But there is a story in the market that you actually you brought a wife when you went to Russia.
Yes, my one of my best friends, Glenn. He that was one of the criteria for me to go there was if he would come with me and do school online, and I would give him a salary to live with me, basically. You heard some stories about Russia and playing there, and some, it's far away, you know, like Russia is a different country, I can say. I lived there for a year and it's a different country. So I'm glad I had a friend with me, and we had a great time for 1 year there. A lot of memories.
The favorite part of the year, was it New Year's Eve? Was that a
Yeah, New Year's Eve. Yeah. When we had some grilled cheese and
it was not a big party. It was not a
not every story you can put on the internet,
a public,
you know?
Podcast. I guess the point is that it's easy to get lonely. Also, the distances, I understand, are quite massive.
No one talks English, you know, and no one really interacts with you in English. So it's hard. You can get lonely. So it was big for me to have him there as a support.
We are then in your current career. You're number 36.
Yeah.
Why do you pick number 36? Or did that number pick you? How does it work?
Yeah, I think that number just picked me. I was always 41 after my idol in Vålerenga, Espen Knutsen, Shampoo. When I started at
NTG. Did he have 41 when he was in...
Had it when he was in Vålerenga.
That was his local number.
Yeah. Huh? So, but when I came to Frisk Asker and started at the school there, that was just, they handed it to me and it was 36, and I've had it since, so.
I was reading a little bit about your status with the fans, which is very impressive. So, first of all, when you were at New York Rangers, there are plenty of stories, but just, you know, one of the most read articles says that you were one, if not the most beloved New York Ranger of the past decade. Obviously, you were there for a decade. So, it's difficult, but why do you think you're so popular?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just think that I had a great relationship with New York. Coming from Norway, you know that it's gotta be hard work, and I think New York is, we're hard workers coming from there, and blue collar hard workers, and I think they just appreciate that. And
it also says that you had a beating heart in the locker room. So is that you were like popular in the team?
Yeah, I don't know. When you come up to that level of seriousness, you know, at the highest level of any sports you do, the fun kind of goes out of it a little bit if you don't keep it a little loose in the locker room and then jokes around and have fun. So I think that was just that was more my job, to keep it loose every day in practice, and you know, game time is game time. You're serious and everything, but it's a big business, you know. Like it can take a toll on you if you just don't relax and have some fun.
Yeah, and you play a lot of games.
Yeah, so 82 games.
82 games a season. So you've played 618 games.
Yeah.
So what's a typical week? It's two or three games per week.
Yeah, 3 to 4.
Week. So you gotta try and have some fun in between all that.
Yeah, for sure. Or else you get insane, you know. Yeah.
What about these nicknames? So you are, is it?
I don't know where that came from. The general manager of the Wild, when I signed there, had a quote about that. So now someone uses that. But
it's quite sort of well written, what Mats the Lizard Zuccarello brings to the Wild. And it's very favorable, I would say. You are being compared to a Norwegian Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... I'll take that anyway.
You'll take that? Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty complimentary. But did someone also call you in New York a Hobbit Wizard?
Yes, that's also been out there for a long time. So
do you know where it comes from?
Frodo. I think it was something, and maybe that I'm not the tallest guy in the
ice. You're
not
the tallest guy in the locker room. You're not the tallest guy on the ice. That's for sure. So when you're not then practicing and playing fit four games per week, you have your philanthropy. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? It's the Segrella Foundation, and it's Right to Play.
I think kids, for me, I've always liked kids and enjoyed, and I remember when I was a kid that sports was such a big part of my life, and it's just sad to know that there's some kids that can't afford or doesn't have the opportunity to do sports or do whatever you want growing up. So I think when you have the chance or use your face to do something good, I think it's you should do it. And so it's been an incredible years here working with that.
I have this picture in front of me. It looks like you're in Africa.
I'm in Tanzania. I've been there twice, visiting schools and gathered money to schools and been there twice and visited the kids and stuff like that. So
you sort of hang out. There's other athletes, both former and current.
I was there by myself.
This is yourself.
With Right to Play, we went down there and I think it's just funny. Like it's nice to when you work for something and that you actually see what the money and all the work that you do go to, that it goes to something good. And I think being down there in Africa and visiting all those kids and playing and having fun with them, it's probably a feeling that you can't get from anything else. You know, it's a special feeling to be there, and you just feel lucky, and at the same time you're almost jealous because they don't have a lot, but the smile on their faces and as little as they need to have a smile on their face and be happy. It's just it's incredible to see. So I learned a lot from being there those two times, and it's special.
Very impressive, and all about purpose, I guess, and giving back. But you also have some commercial interest. I forgot to ask you, but coming into the commercial interest, what did you and Glenn do the most when you were in Russia? What was the sort of when you were not playing hockey? What did you do?
PlayStation.
Exactly, because there was an article in the papers recently that Zuccarello is going for esports.
Yeah.
So do you see any synergies between your experience with Glenn and the future of your investor in an esports team?
I think it's something that interests me, and it's fun to do something that interests you. You know, like being a professional athlete, special for me. You have a lot of downtime, you know, between games when you can't really do anything. You just have to relax, and then video games comes into play. You know, you can play for 2-3 hours and just keep your head out of the game and out of whatever situation.
That's relaxation for you. Yeah. But do you think these guys that are actually making money now playing esports, do you think they are athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you consider chess other games athletes, so why shouldn't these guys be athletes, you know? For sure. So
and of course you can play chess, or I guess you can play soccer or ice hockey for relaxation or fun. And then there's professionals like you, and then so I guess you can do the same with the sort of esports that you some people have it as a hobby and some people have it as a job. So you invested with Nuamin, and so have you played any games against Stian Blip?
No, I haven't. I have to train a little bit more to be at his level. He's played his whole life. So I'm more of a hobby-based player that just kills time and relaxes me and clear my mind a little bit. But I think it's really interesting to see how big it is. And for me, going in and investing in that is also to maybe try and combine movement and activities with playing that... we can have maybe hopefully one day we can have hockey like we have hockey camps or football camps. Now you can have esports camps where parents can send their kids there, and they know that we can do physical workouts and keep in shape and learn how to eat and stuff like that. And I think throughout the years, the esports or playing Xbox or PlayStation, you kind of see them as drinking sodas and eating like shit. I think we have a way to go there where we can prove that being an esport is not a bad thing, that you have to keep in shape and eat the right way to perform better, to clear your mind and stuff like that. So I think that's what I think is really interesting.
Excellent. And then you were also in the papers lately, Sukka going real estate with Henke Lundqvist. You're both a shareholder and ambassador of Ambera, which is kind of like a co-living type thing.
Yeah, it's more like a gated community, kind of US style of it. But it also comes back to getting people together, you know, kids and older people that are maybe lonely, or to create a society where everyone, you're not lonely. You have stuff, people to go to, like you have chess clubs if you're interested in that, wine clubs for older ladies or book clubs or whatever. You have a youth, you can do homeworks and stuff like that. Like you have a...
So it's a very social concept then.
Yeah, it's a... concept for sociality, you know, like you're keeping everyone in the loop and no one should be on the outside, and you always have somewhere to go. So I think that's, you know, we all have grandparents or someone that might be lonely and that you always feel sorry for, that you don't call enough and make sure that they're okay. But if you know that they live in a society or like that, you know that there's always something happening, always someone taking care of them, and they have always something to do. So I think that's something I think I would for sure love when I get older.
Sounds fun. Final question of this podcast, Mats, what are you doing this summer? You're obviously a big international star. You can go anywhere in the world. Well, maybe COVID, but you know, if you could go anywhere, where do you decide to spend your summer holiday?
Galdhøpiggen.
Highest mountain in Norway.
Yes, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go a week around in Norway to hike some mountains and see some nature. And just, I think Norway is the most beautiful country in the world if you travel the right way and by car and boat and stuff like that. So I think that's enough for me. I travel so much during the year, so I actually hate travel abroad in the summer. I like to be in Norway, and we have so much to offer here in Norway, so we don't really have to go anywhere.
Mats Sigrelo, thank you very much for being the great Arctic ambassador that you are, and we of course from all our hearts wish you a fantastic summer holiday and a kick-ass next season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.